الرحمن بالغيب فبشره بمغفرة واجر كريم. إنا نحن نحيي الموتى ونكتب ما قدموا وآثارهم وكل شيء أحصيناه في إمام مبين. واضرب لهم مثلا أصحاب القرية إذ جاءها المرسلون إذ أرسلنا إليهم اثنين فكذبوهما فعززنا بثالث فقالوا إنا إليكم مرسلون. قالوا ما أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا وما أنزل الرحمن من شيء إن أنتم إلا تكذبون. قالوا ربنا يعلم إنا إليكم لمرسلون وما علينا إلا البلاغ المبين. قالوا إنا تطيرنا بكم لئن لم تنتهوا لنرجمنكم وليمسنكم منا عذاب عليم. قالوا طائركم معكم أئن ذكرتم بل أنتم قوم مسرفون. وجاء من أقصى المدينة رجل يسعى قال يا قوم اتبعوا المرسلين اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون. وما لي لا أعبد الذي فطرني وإليه ترجعون. أتخذ من دونه آلهة إن يردني الرحمن بضر لا تغن عني شفاعتهم شيئا ولا ينقذون. إني إذا لفي ضلال مبين. إني آمنت بربكم فاسمعون. قيل ادخل الجنة قال يا ليت قومي يعلمون. بما غفر لي ربي وجعلني من المكرمين. وما أنزلنا على قومه من بعده من جند من السماء وما كنا منزلين. إن كانت إلا صيحة واحدة فإذا هم خامدون. يا حسرة على العباد ما يأتيهم من رسول إلا كانوا به يستهزئون. ألم يروا كم أهلكنا قبلهم من القرون أنهم إليهم لا يرجعون. وإن كل لما جميع لدينا مهذرون. وآية لهم الأرض الميتة أحييناها وأخرجنا منها حبا فمنه يأكلون. وجعلنا فيها جنات من نخيل وعناب وفجرنا فيها من العيون ليأكلوا من ثمره وما عملت أيديهم أفلا يشكرون. سبحان الذي خلق الأزواج كلها مما تنبت الأرض ومن أنفسهم ومما لا يعلمون. وآية لهم الليل نسلخ منه النهار فإذا هم مظلمون. والشمس تجري لمستقر لها ذلك تقدير العزيز الأليم. والقمر قدرناه منازل حتى عاد كالعرجون القديم. للشمس ينبغي لها أن تدرك القمر ولا الليل سابق النهار لكل في فلك يسبحون. وآية لهم أنا حملنا ذريتهم في الفلك المشحون. وخلقنا لهم من مثله ما يركبون وإن نشأ نغرقهم فلا صريخ لهم ولا هم ينقذون إلا رحمة منا ومتاعا إلى حين وإذا قيل لهم اتقوا ما بين أيديكم وما خلفكم لعلكم ترحمون وما تأتيهم من آية من آيات ربهم إلا كانوا عنها معرضين وإذا قيل لهم أنفقوا مما رزقكم الله قال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا أنطعم من لو يشاء الله أطعمه إن أنتم إلا في ضلال مبين ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين وما ينذرون إلا صيحة واحدة تأخذهم وهم يخصمون فلا يستطيعون توصية ولا إلى أهلهم يرجعون ونفخ في الصور فإذا هم من الأجداث إلى ربهم ينسلون قالوا يا ويلنا من بعثنا من مرقدنا هذا ما وعد الرحمن وصدق المرسلون إن كانت إلا صيحة واحدة فإذا هم جميع لدينا محضرون فاليوم لا تظلم نفس شيئا ولا تجزون إلا ما كنتم تعملون إن أصحاب الجنة اليوم في شغل فاكهون هم وأزواجهم في ظلال على الأرائك متكئون لهم فيها فاكهة ولهم ما يدعون سلام قولا من رب رحيم وامتازوا أيها المجرمون ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم ألا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين صدق الله العلي العظيم صلى على محمد وعلى محمد
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر والحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله الحمد لله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله اللهم صل على محمد أشهد أن محمد محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن أمير المؤمنين علي ولي الله. أشهد أن أمير المؤمنين علي وأولاده المعصومين بالحق حجج الله.
اللهم صل على
حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح، حي على خير العمل، حي على خير العمل. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم
صل على محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، استغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله.
اللهم صل على محمد.
أشهد أن عليا ولي الله. اللهم صل على محمد. أشهد أن مولانا أمير المؤمنين عليا وأبناءه المعصومين حجج الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح، حي على خير العمل، حي على خير العمل. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر، فصل لربك وانحر، إن شانئك هو الأبتر. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده، ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر، استغفر الله. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر بحول الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. كذلك الله. الله أكبر. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، بحق محمد وآله الأطهار. وصل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. استغفر الله. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. الحمد لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، وتقبل شفاعته في أمته، وارفع درجته بحول الله. استغفر الله. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. استغفر الله. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. يا ولي العافية، أسألك العفو والعافية في الدين والدنيا والآخرة. صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. بسم الله وبالله. الحمد لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا علي يا عظيم، يا غفور يا رحيم، أنت رب العظيم الذي ليس كمثله شيء، وهو السميع البصير. وهذا شهر عزمته وكرمته وشرفته وفضلته على الشهور، وهو الشهر الذي فرضت صيامه عليه، وهو الشهر رمضان الذي أنزلت فيه القرآن، هدى للناس مبينات من الهدى والفرقان، وجعلت فيه ليلة القدر وجعلتها خيرا من ألف شهر. فيا ذا المن ولا يمن علي، منا علي بفكاك رقبتي من النار، فيما انت من علي وادخلني الجنة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Program reminders and announcements. We still need, we have slots available. There's a list posted outside for sponsorship for Iftar. So please come forward and sign up for that. There's a list posted outside in the lobby. You can take a look at it. There's multiple ways that you can sign up. You can sign up for the entire day or a portion of the day. So please come forward and do that. And related to that, this Wednesday, the Iftar is sponsored by the Sabah Youth, and we need at least two sponsors to come forward and help them out. So if you can, please come forward and sign up for that, please. Also, the flower delivery is happening on September 5th. September 3rd is the last day, so you just have a couple more days left for that. So please, if you would like to sign up, please contact with us from Bizna for that. Sunday school is starting on the 6th of September. All students, like I was mentioning yesterday, all students, regardless of whether they're returning or new, need to register, and the registrations will start at 4:15 p.m. So Sunday, September 6th, Sunday school starts, and also the registration the same day at 4:15 p.m. And going forward, during the month of Ramadan, the classes for Sunday school will start at 4:45 p.m., so make a note of that. Quran recitation and memorization competition is also happening on September 6th. And the deadline for registrations is September 5th. You can go online and register your kids. We have different age groups, and you can sign up for that. Health center is open on the weekends. It's not open during the weekdays. And babysitting needs help from the parents. So if you have kids of babysitting age and you are you utilize that facility, please donate, because there's administrative costs associated with that, and we'd like help in that. Sabah camp is happening the weekend right after Ramadan, that's September 25th through the September 27th. So please sign up for that. That's the last weekend of September that we have the camp. Lastly, the father of our dear brother, he's a regular member of ours over here at Sabah, Abbas Rangwala. His father passed away in India. His name is Fida Hussain, son of Akbar Ali. Please recite Surah Fatiha for him. Sallallahu Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Lastly, as you have noticed, we had the Dua Iftar that happened before the Salat. The speeches will be right after the Salat, after Iftar. So English speech will be in this hall by Brother Maulana Asad Jafri right after the Iftar. And going forward, that's what will be happening. And Maulana Musi will be speaking also. I don't think we have Arabic program, no. It's only English, yeah. So it's only English program tonight.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه. الله أكبر، الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله.
اللهم صل على محمد.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله.
اللهم صل على.
أشهد أن عليا ولي الله. أشهد أن مولانا أمير المؤمنين عليا وأبناءه المعصومين حجج الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح،
حي على خير العمل، حي على خير العمل. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. الله سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. استغفر الله. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. بحول الله وقوته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. كذلك الله أكبر. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. رب اغفر لي ولوالدي وارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرة، اجزهما بالإحسان إحسانا وبالسيئات عفوا وغفرانا، وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات، تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات، إنك مجيب الدعوات، إنك قاضي الحاجات، إنك على كل شيء قدير. وصل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده. ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. الحمد لله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، وتقبل شفاعته في أمته، وارفع درجته. بحول الله. استغفر الله. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده. ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. استغفر الله. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. بحول الله وقوته. استغفر الله ربي. الله اكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله اكبر. سبحان ربي الاعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله اكبر. الله اكبر. سبحان ربي الاعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. يا ولي العافيه، الهي اسالك العفو والعافيه في الدين والدنيا والاخره. الله اكبر. بسم الله وبالله، الحمد لله حق حمده، اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليك ايها النبي ورحمه الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين، السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. الله اكبر. الله اكبر. الله اكبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
اللهم صل على محمد. الله
اكبر. اللهم صل على محمد.
اللهم انت كل غريب، اللهم انت كل اسير، اللهم اصلح كل خاص من امور المسلمين، اللهم اشفي كل مريض، اللهم شفي، اللهم غير سوء حالنا باستخارك، اللهم اقبح الله دينا واغننا عما انصحك، انك على كل شيء قدير. وصل على محمد واهل الطيبين والطاهرين.
صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله، السلام عليك يا رسول الله، السلام عليكم يا أمير المؤمنين، السلام عليكم يا فاطمة الزهراء، السلام عليكم يا حسن المجتبى، السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم يا خليل الغرباء، سلطان بن الحسن، يا علي بن مفرضا، كن شفينا وشفي ولدنا في يوم الجزاء ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم يا صاحب العصر والزمان، السلام عليكم يا شريك القرآن، السلام عليكم يا إمام الإنس والجان، عجل الله تعالى فرجه. السلام عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Assalamu alaikum. We're going to start the speech in about 5 minutes, inshallah. So if you can wrap up, we have Sayyid Asad Jafari tonight. We have a little bit of a switch in the program from today on where the speech is going to be after iftar, and Doa Iftitah is going to be before iftar. This is a way that hopefully, inshallah, more people can benefit from the Sayyid's speeches. He's very good, mashallah, and particularly for the youth. And he's been talking now for 9 days, 10 days about living an Islamic life in the West. And he's dissected this point by point, telling us exactly what to do and what not to do. And inshallah, if you can't make the speeches, they're online on the Sabah website through YouTube. Ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad salawat. Okay, brothers and sisters, particularly the youth, if we can come up to the front. You know how we always do, we gather in the front, it's easier for the speaker. Inshallah, it shows our interest. Inshallah, it shows our support. It shows our energy for our speaker, inshallah. So let's come up to the front and let's invite Sayyid Asad Dafri with a loud salawat.
For your marhumin and mine, inshallah, bil khusus shuhada fatiha. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alayki wa alayki. Salat al-Mustafim, salat al-Ladin al-Ram. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نذير الظالمين رحمة للعالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل البيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعن الله وعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد فقد قال الله وقوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وابتغوا إليه الوسيلة وجاهدوا في سبيله لعلكم تفلحون صلى الله على محمد وعلى محمد. الحمد لله for the 10th night now we've been continuing our discussion on this topic, as our right doctor mentioned, living an Islamic life in the West. And we've attempted since day one to give ourselves the appropriate tools and resources and dimensions to live a successful life according to Islam here in the West. We've discussed several aspects and several tools, alhamdulillah, and today, like I mentioned yesterday, today being the 10th of Ramadan and today being the wafat of Bibi Khadija salamu alayhi wa sallam, I want to spend a few moments today talking about this great lady and dedicating today to her. And tomorrow we'll resume our topic, inshallah. First of all, a couple of points in relation to this great wife of the Prophet. We have an entire philosophy in Islam about ni'mat, about blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first philosophy being that everything that we have is from Allah. Allahumma ma bina min ni'matin famin. We read after namaz. But oh Allah, everything I have from you. Every ni'mat I have from you. In fact, we have in our books when Prophet Dawood asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do I thank you for everything you've done for me? Because the philosophy is what? That once you thank Allah, you have to thank Him for thanking Him. And the endless chain of thanking Allah never ends. So the answer comes to Nabi Dawood so beautifully, that oh Nabi Dawood, if you've understood that everything that you have is from me, then you've thanked me. So having said that, it's important for us to understand that with every blessing we have, and here we live in the West, mashallah, you live in the Bay Area. Today I was at a funeral in the daytime, and I was talking to an individual there, and he kept saying, you know, I moved here from India about 3 years ago, and I've been to different parts in America. I've lived in Nebraska, I lived in Florida, I've lived in New Jersey. He said, but the best place to live in the U.S. is here in the Bay Area. And those of you who have been here recently, if you've been here for a while, you know that whether it's the weather, whether it's the opportunity, whatever the case may be, one of the best areas known across the nation is here in the Bay Area. And so he kept saying, Alhamdulillah, I've been blessed to be brought here, to have a good job here, to be settled here. And these types of blessings and ni'mas don't come easy, number one. And number two, they don't come without an imtihan, without a test. You see, it's very simple. If we use our five senses as an example, we'll understand the point a little bit better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with sight. It's a blessing. For those who are blind, ask them. Allah has blessed us with a sense of hearing. For those who are deaf, again, ask them what a blessing it is. But Allah has also said that, look, I'm giving you eyes to look with and to see with. However, it's important for you to understand that I am not allowing you to look at everything. I mentioned the very first night, which seems like a while ago now. The very first night I mentioned that fasting has levels. And I'm going to repeat that right now because we're now into 10 days of the fasting. We should begin to slowly change ourselves. I mentioned that there are three levels of fasting, if you recall. The first level was this idea where you deprive your body of food and water. You go hungry for 15 hours. That's the very first basic level of fasting. Our ulama have taught us that once you've conquered that first level, you move up to level number two, which is the fasting of the eyes, of the ears, of the tongue, of the heart. So you don't look at things while you're fasting that you shouldn't be looking at. You don't listen to things you should be listening to. You don't say things you should be saying. You don't feel things for your fellow mu'min brother and sister that you should be feeling. And they say that once your body has adjusted, look, the beauty of it is what? The beauty of it is that after a week of fasting, your body has adjusted to fasting. And I said the very first two or three fasts in the month of Ramadan are the toughest ones, no doubt. After a while, your body becomes accustomed to fasting. It knows that, look, I'm not going to get food or water for at least 14, 15 hours. Once you've accomplished that level, then move on to level number two, which is that when you're out in the school, when you're out in the workforce, when you're online, when you're talking to somebody on the phone, when you're out in society, don't forget that the fasting is not just depriving yourself of food and water. Fasting, like I said, your entire existence is fasting, not just your stomach. And so understand that once you've conquered level one, where those pains of hunger are gone, we then move on to level number two. We lower our gaze, we watch out what we listen to, we be careful of the ghibah and the slander and the tuhmat and the lying and all these things. So it's important for us to understand that blessings are the exact same way. That if Allah has blessed you with vision, He's also said, look, you can't look at these things. These things for you are haram to look at. And He's given you a gift, for example, a blessing, and He's given you a little handbook with it. So look, these are how you use your eyes.
This is how you use your ears. This is what you say with your tongue that I've blessed you with. This is what you should feel inside of your heart. Anything above and beyond that, that blessing then becomes a curse, my brothers and my sisters. The ni'mat becomes a nikmat, as they say in our books. That one blessing of Allah, which is eyesight, could be the very reason why we end up in the hellfire. And so one of the things you have to ask yourself is that when Allah blesses you with a blessing, what does He want you to use it for? So the definition of a ni'mat is not just Allah has given it to you and left. No. He's given you a blessing, and the definition of a true blessing is that you've used it for what it was meant to be used for. If Allah has given you the opportunity to speak and a tongue, and you use it, let's say, for dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah, dua of those who are sick, you say to praise individuals, you tell jokes to make your brothers laugh, for example. These are all blessings that Allah wants you to use it for. If you use that tongue, let's say, to slander somebody, to do character assassination, to backbite, to lie, to make yourself look like you're amazing, then that blessing Allah has given you, you've used it in the wrong notion, and now it's become a curse for you. So ask yourself, if Allah has blessed you with rizq, with money, if Allah has blessed you with a new home, for example, if Allah has blessed you with more children, for example, if Allah has blessed you with a beautiful spouse, ask yourself, am I using that blessing the way it should be used? If I have a wife at home who's made my home, mashallah, a palace for me, do I thank her? Do I buy her gifts? Do I tell her, honey, I love you? God forbid. Once in a while, maybe. Because, you know, women, and it's not my topic, but since I'm already on the topic, let me talk about this for a moment. Women, you know, they're very interesting creations. And those who have families and our husbands, you can attest to this. They tend to, in all of their beauty and their charm, of course, they tend to exaggerate once in a while. A little bit. Just a little bit. And they end up making us feel like, you know, you've never bought me a gift in the 15 years that I've been married to you. Ever bought me a gift. Once, I think, 10 years ago, I bought you a little diamond something maybe 10 years ago. So it's important for us to renew that love once in a while. You've never told me, John, I love you, zindagi ho tum, sab kuch ho tum. You've never said that. Once, I think, maybe I said it. So it's important for us to make sure that if Allah has blessed us with wives, because you know that I know of homes where there are husbands, mashallah, in Iran, for example. I'll give you an example. I'm getting off topic here, but let's try to get focused back here. It's really important for us to understand what we can see as a blessing and how to use it. A lot of people always ask me, how is life in Iran? You've been there for 4 or 5 years. Is it not difficult? And then they ask me, you know, how is your wife with all of this? Is she okay with this, that you're living in Iran with her and you're taken away from your family and everything? Now, these speeches go online every single night, I think. And my wife makes it a point to listen to every speech that I say. So she's listening to it, inshallah, this one she'll listen to. I'll make sure that a little bit of praise for her to make sure that, you know, even though I'm far away from her, I remember her. I say, you know, my wife has never once, and wallah, she has not once has she complained that I've taken her away from my family, from her community, from her city, and brought her to Iran. In fact, she says that as much convenience, as much sukoon as there is here, there is nowhere else. However, there are individuals who I know in Qom, who study, for example, and they come home, and the first thing their wives ask them is not, how was your day, are you hungry, can I get you something, is when are we going back to the U.S.? When are you going to finish up at the Hausa? When is this, when is that, when is this, when is that? And the entire house now becomes a source of tension. If you have a wife, and again, I'm leading toward Bibi Khadija, if you have a wife who takes away the tensions of the outside when you enter a home, you know, they have a very beautiful saying that the job of the wife and the beauty of a wife is that she can turn a house into a home. But if you look at the way that a house is structured, if it's a home where there is yelling and screaming and hatred and bugs and nafrat and this and that, then unfortunately everyone looks back to the wife and says, oh, you're not handling your home properly. That's why one of the most beautiful statements of the Holy Prophet about Bibi Khadija was that he says that she sheltered me when everyone shunned me. He says that she believed in my honesty when everyone else called me a liar. And when he used to go out and attempt to preach Islam, he would get garbage thrown at him. He would get insults thrown his way. He would be put through so much stress. But when he used to come home, he said, Khadija would make the home such a beautiful arena to be at that I would forget about all my tension. And that's why they say that even after she passed away, he would always talk about her, always talk about, to the point where even the other wives would be annoyed, saying, enough already. So Bibi Khadija's life is something that our women today can really, really learn from. And alhamdulillah, you know, we have this concept, like I said, about blessings. And let me also just bring this point home. One of the biggest blessings that you and I have, alhamdulillah, is that we have the wilaya of Amir al-Mu'mineen inside of our hearts. Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And let me make all of us understand, myself included, to not take this blessing for granted. There were people who lived with Amir al-Mu'mineen, who lived with the Holy Prophet, who woke up with the Holy Prophet and did not understand who he was. There were companions who surrounded themselves with Mawla Ali, but again, did not understand who he was. He's sitting up there in front of a public and saying, ask me any question you want, until you couldn't. And in that environment, when you have the person who knows everything about the heavens and the earth, you have people asking him questions like, how many hairs are there in my beard, for example. Can you imagine? A great alim, a great scholar comes to your community. He's one of the well-known alims in the world. He comes, he says, you know, open house Q&A sessions. Ask me whatever you want. And you say, can you tell me how many hairs there are on my head? Is that not an insult to Mawla Ali? Is that not the peak of oppression for Mawla Ali? It is. He didn't understand who Mawla Ali was. They did not understand who Imam Hussein was. If they understood who Aba Abdullah al-Hussein was, would they do what they did to him in Karbala? But you and I, alhamdulillah, we understand who the Ahlul Bayt were. We've accepted their wilayah. We tread their path. And for that reason, sometimes our blood is shed because we love Ali. And that's a blessing, my brothers and my sisters. It's a huge blessing. But sometimes our youth say, oh, you know, we're the minority in the Islamic world. We're always, you know, getting killed, we're always getting injustice and all this kind of stuff. I want them to understand for a moment that majority never means right. Always understand that. But because there is a handful of us, it doesn't mean anything. And so the blessing comes where we've accepted the walaya of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Where does the imtihan come now? I mentioned every blessing has a test. The test is, have you used that wilaya, have you used that ma'rifat of the imamat of Amir al-Mu'mineen and his family the way it should be used? Do you tread his path? Do you follow his life? Do you mourn for his children? Do you celebrate his life? Because we'll be questioned on the day of judgment. Allah has blessed you with this concept of knowing Allah, that's the first level. That Allah has blessed you with being a Muslim and treading the path of the Holy Prophet, that's the second level. And that special level is Allah has blessed you and I with this concept of knowing the Ahlul Bayt, accepting the Ahlul Bayt as the rightful successors of our Holy Prophet. With that comes a huge imtihan. InshaAllah, bihajjah Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So keeping that in the back of your head that you've been giving blessings and how is it used for, let me connect that to this azim shakhsiyat, this beautiful lady of ours that we're here to commemorate and celebrate and remember. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned in the second day of my speeches, gave wealth to a number of people. And the two examples I'll use again here because there's a lot of new faces. One is Qarun, who lived during Nabi Musa's time, and one is Bibi Khadija, salamu alayhi. If you know the story of Qarun, it's in the Quran. He existed, like I said, during Nabi Musa's time, an extremely wealthy individual. So wealthy, they said that wherever he went, there was a group of individuals who would carry sacks with them. In the sacks were the keys to his treasures only. The keys to his treasure. Four or five individuals would carry these heavy, heavy bags of just the keys to his treasure chest. So imagine how much wealth he had. But again, Allah has blessed, and with it comes imtihan. Harun took that wealth to make himself feel like he was the richest man in the world, and he became on a level of ghurur and self-conceit and takabbur and full of himself. And he saw Nabi Musa as a prophet of Allah, and he wanted what Nabi Musa wanted. And so long story short, it's a very long story, but basically he challenged Nabi Musa. He attempted to blame him for something he never did. He got caught, and the end result of Harun was literally the ground opened up. The Quran says, Harun fell inside and the ground swallowed him up. With his riches, with everything else. On the flip side, you have who? The wife of the Prophet. A very successful, a very wealthy businesswoman. Who marries the Prophet of Allah, and the first thing she does is says, everything I have is for the sake of Islam. You know, sometimes when we donate and we give to the cause of Islam, alhamdulillah, we donate, mashallah, it's very good. But afterwards, we ask the administration or the treasurer or the board, you know the $150 that I gave you? Yeah, can I have a breakdown of where that was spent? Do you have receipts and expenses to tell me, you know, where my money went? And that's fine. I mean, this is a public community. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you show me anywhere in any of the books that we have where you have a breakdown of where Bibi Khadija's money was spent. Nobody knows. And she never asked Prophet of Allah that I've given you so much wealth. Where is it gone? You know, at the end of her life, she didn't have enough money to buy herself a kafan to be buried in. Allahu Akbar. This was who? This was a woman who was extremely wealthy. But she gave everything she had in the way of Islam. Here, Allah has blessed her with wealth. Her imtihan came, her test came, and she passed that imtihan by what? By giving everything fi sabilillah, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one lesson of many we can learn from the life of this great lady is when Allah has blessed you with it, when Allah has blessed you with risk, when Allah has blessed you with so many ni'mah upon ni'mah, understand that Allah is waiting for you to use it in the appropriate way. Understand what that way is and use it in that way, inshallah. Salawat bihi Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The other point I wanted to make in terms of her life, that's two points by the way. One point is this usage of blessings, which is for all of us. And the first point I made, which was lost in the jokes, was this concept of our sisters, our aunts, our respected women. When you create a household, which is really a home for the man who comes back from outside, he's working, let's say he's stressed, then really that home becomes a heaven for him. And we have in our hadith that a woman's intercessor on the Day of Judgment is the happiness of her husband. Now this doesn't mean that on the way home tonight, in the car, you said, Deka, no, not like that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying use that and say, go make me tea and all that. No. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that a woman has been given this blessing to be the mother of the children and to be the wife in the home. So convert your house into a home, I'm saying. If your home does not remind you of Islam, then it's your job. It's your responsibility. It's everyone's responsibility, really. But really, Allah has given the woman this concept of love that she has not given you and I. That he has not given you and I, I'm sorry, as men. And so we have to use that, or they have to use that to convert this house into a home. Number three is this concept of sacrifice. Very briefly, let me understand. And let me explain to all of you that our Ahlul Bayt, if they had one common trait amongst them all, it was this concept of sacrifice. And not sacrifice for anything else but for Islam. The example I'll give you is Mawla Ali. A lot of our youth and some of us have this concept where we believe that Mawla Ali remained quiet during the times of three Khalifas out of fear, number one. Or simply because they didn't have, or he didn't have enough of an army to uphold or to revolt against the current government in Islam. Let me present to you a little bit of the philosophy behind Mawla Ali's silence to understand his sacrifice. And I'm going to use his own judgment to understand why he did what he did. The very famous story of two women approaching Mawla Ali with one baby. One says, this is my baby. The other says, this is my baby. And they come to Mawlana Ali and says, you know what? You are the one who is the judge of the time. You tell me what to do. Mawlana Ali thinks about it. He sees there are two women here, and they're claiming that this child is theirs. Mawlana Ali says, you know, oh dear, we'll cut the baby in half. We'll give you one half. We'll give you the other half. That sounds fair. One woman says, no, wait. You know what? It's her baby. It's her baby. It's her baby. Give her the baby. Give her the baby. It's okay. Don't do that. Give her the baby. It's her baby. I'm not the mother. I'm not the mother. Mawlana Ali right away realized that it wasn't her that was the mother. It was this one that's saying to not cut the baby, that she is the actual mother. He awarded her the baby and said, go with your child. What's the logic behind it? This mother would rather see her child alive and well, even in the lap of somebody else, as opposed to cut into pieces. Okay. Take that example and use it for Islam now. Islam being the baby. Mawlana Ali is claiming that this is my khilafat, and the first people claiming it's my khilafat. If Mawlana Ali took the sword out and began to chop that khilafat in half, then Islam as we know it, in this infancy stage, would have self-imploded. So he said, look, as long as Islam is sahih and salim in the hands of him and that khalifa, I'm fine with it. Let it be. I'd rather see Islam like this than in pieces and in my hands. The sacrifice of Mawlana Ali. Imagine for a moment someone takes your God-given right away from you, snatches it away from you, and you're asked to be patient, or you're asked to sacrifice for the sake of Islam. Now how can we make that into a practical aspect here? I'm telling you, right now, here, in our little pockets across North America, we have these communities. And the last time I write a stat, there's about 200-250 masjids across America alone. One of them here at the Sabah Center. It's important for us to understand that this is our version of Islam right here, these four walls. And so there'll come times where something happens that you don't like. Someone says something that you weren't too happy about. Maybe to you directly. Maybe a change in the program that you weren't too happy about. Maybe someone said something. Maybe something happened to your children or to you. Maybe somebody was disrespectful to your child. Sometimes we have this philosophy that, you know what, I'm never coming back here again. I'm going to go down the road and open up my own center or have my own programs and tell everyone to don't go to Sabah, don't go to Sabah, don't go to Sabah. I'm asking you to sacrifice for Islam the way our Ahlul Bayt sacrificed for Islam. And realize that these four walls is all we have in terms of the tabligh and the spread and the really understanding of Islam are these four walls. And when you have such cultures and such personalities under one roof, you're bound to have a little bit of noise. They say, you know, where there are dishes, there'll always be noise, as they say. And so take that as an example of understanding that Islam is asking you to look past all that and understand that you are a member of an Islamic society here in the West. And we have to do our best to make sure that this Islam remains apparent and remains strong enough so we can gift it off to our next generation. Shaheed Mutahari rahmatullah alayh has a beautiful example when he says, the right of one generation over the next one is that they should give Islam at such a point where they can take that Islam and run with it. Just like the generation before us gave us Islam, just like our parents, like I mentioned the very first or second day, our parents came here, they did everything they could to establish Islam for us. And they gave us Islam to the best of their ability. And now us as the next generation, we take it, we do our best to uphold it, to patch it up, to make it stronger, and we pass it on to the next generation. That's their right and that's our responsibility. Well, you can't do that unless you sacrifice for Islam. Whether it's your time, whether it's your money, whether it's whatever the case may be. But sacrifice for the next generation. The Sabah youth have an iftar this Wednesday. They're sponsoring the iftar. I ask all of you, they need two sponsors, that's it. Two sponsors in this massive community. I ask you, please, help them out, support them, know that one little sacrifice in this pinch of an economy, believe me, Allah will give you tenfold, inshallah. Shall Allah be Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So it's important for us to understand two points, and then I'll move towards Masha'ib. A little bit of Musibah today since we're commemorating her wafat. And that is that understand that every time you are blessed, and really you have to understand everything is a blessing. If you applied for a university or college and you got in, that's a blessing. If for a moment, let's say for example, you were going through a difficulty or a hardship or some turmoil, and alhamdulillah, Allah has released you from that hardship, that is a blessing. And Allah waits for you to say, alhamdulillah, thank you Allah for helping me through that hardship. The problem is that we have so much ghurur sometimes where we think, I was the one that helped you through that. I was the one that helped myself through that. I was the one that solved that problem. And that's a problem. And so second thing we have to understand is sacrifice. Sacrifice, sacrifice. We have to create the sacrificial nature inside of us that we don't have sometimes. Everything is according to me, my time, my schedule. Let's be a little bit sacrificial towards Islam, towards our community, towards our next generation. But really, if you think about it, my brothers and my sisters, the amount that we owe Bibi Khadija is beyond words, no doubt. But they say that Islam was founded on two very important pillars. One was Mawla Ali's courage, and one was Bibi Khadija's wealth. Without one, Islam would not have spread the way it spread. So every Muslim, regardless of what fiqh you believe in, regardless of what you believe in, we owe Bibi Khadija 1,000 salams. But the problem is the Muslims didn't really understand that. If they had understood who Bibi Khadija was, they wouldn't do what they did to her daughter. If they understood who Bibi Khadija was, they wouldn't do what they did to her grandson in Karbala. If they understood who Bibi Khadija was, they wouldn't do what they did to her granddaughter Bibi Zainab, salam Allah alayhi. 2 minutes of Bibi Zainab, because a mother and a daughter are very special, but a grandmother and a granddaughter are sometimes equally as special. And so today, we remember Bibi Khadija through her granddaughter Bibi Zainab. You know, we sometimes believe that the day of Ashura was the end of Muharram and Azadari and Karbala as we know it. But the musibat after Ashura began for Bibi Zainab and Bibi Zainab alone. She had to be the Fatima of her qafila and the Ali of her qafila. That's why they say that when she gave her famous khutbah in the darbar of Yazid, it was almost as if Mawla Ali was standing up there giving that khutbah. But there's one small story that I read just today, where Bibi Zainab was patient upon patient. Every step of the way she was patient. She was told when Mawla Ali passed away, and later on this month, we'll remember her father, inshallah. Mawla Ali sat her down and gave her nasihat, gave her some guidance. He said, look, Bibi Zainab, look, Zainab, when you go through life, when you're in Karbala, every step of the way, you go through this, you go through that, you go through this. Remain patient, remain patient, remain patient. When he was done, she asked her father one question. She said, Baba, I'll do all those things. I'll be patient. But if I call upon you, will you come and help me? He said, of course I'll come and help you. But we see that Bibi Zainab didn't call her father right away. When she landed in Karbala on the second of Muharram, she didn't call her father. When she watched one shaheed after one shaheed after one shaheed go to the battlefield and not come back, she didn't call her father. When she helped Imam Hussein mount his horse, she didn't call her father. When she stood on Tilla Zainabia, she didn't call for her father. When they snatched her father, burnt the tent, slapped Sakina across the face, she didn't call for her father. When she entered the courtyard of Yazid, they say there were 7 doors to the courtyard. She entered one after one after one. When the 7th door of that courtyard opened, she says there were 700 chairs lined up, dignitaries, special guests, as if there was a show happening. And she was told to move forward, enter the kingdom. She stopped at that door. And she said, if anybody has the courage to make me move, I'm not entering this courtyard. Imam Sajjad says, We've come this way. We've been so patient. A little bit more patience, please. A little bit more patience. I'm not moving from here. The books tell us that the sight of Imam Hussein, his lips began to move. And said, Zainab, a little bit more, please. Just a little bit more. That's all I ask from you. A little bit more, please. She never called her Baba for help in Karbala. He came on Sami Ghariba. She never called him. Every time she mounted a horse, she never called him. She stood there in front of the door. Imam Hussein is asking her a little bit of patience. Enter this courtyard. She asked Imam Hussein one question. She said, where is Najaf? She turned to Najaf and she said, Baba, your Zainab is asking you for help. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this qaleel ibadat insha'Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ma'arifat, to use our blessings the way they were meant to be used for insha'Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the sins of our marhumeen, to keep us on this path of the Ahlul Bayt. Convert the pleasure of sin into the pleasure of worship insha'Allah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I apologize, I forgot to ask all of you to recite a Surah Fatiha for those who sponsored today's iftar. There's a number of names here. Mirza Liaqat Ali Sugra Begum, Badr Nisa Begum, Ghazanfar Ali Khan, Shabbar Ali Khan, Munir Nisa Begum, Agha Sayyid Hashim, Sajid Rizvi Kulla Momini wa Mominat Bil Khusus Ash-Shuhada Fatiha. Sallallahu alayka ya Abba Abdullah, salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, salamu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamu alayka.